I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three underway here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Hours number one and two in the books. You can find them on the podcast feed. Right now, we got to get out to the phone line and bring in a BYU legend, a great basketball player, our friend Mark Durant. Thanks for coming on, Mark. We appreciate it.
Fellas, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We love talking with you, especially this time of year, because it feels like basketball is right around the corner, and now I think there's some clarity that basketball is going to go ahead and be played. Just how do you feel about this year's BYU basketball team now that we know we are going to see them on the hardwood?
I mean, I love this time of year, and it's been so hot I haven't really been thinking about it, but today had just enough briskness in the air to get me thinking that it's coming, it's happening. And, of course, the announcement the other day that it is – at least knock on wood, going to happen, even though it's been postponed. You know, that makes me feel good. And but, you know, after the end of that, the way that season ended and how disappointing it was, and you have this team of all these seniors that were so good. And when are you ever going to hope to have that kind of leadership, that kind of talent, that kind of shooting again for BYU? And you're like, did we miss our window again? Did we have the rug pulled out from underneath us again, right when we're kind of at the brink of maybe doing something special? And so it was frustrating. And you looked at next season and you think, well, I mean, it's the cupboard's not bare by any means, but, you know, can this team be good as they have been? And over the course of the summer, with the transfers they've gotten and the things that have happened, and I have just such great optimism to begin with Coach Pope and his staff, that I'm already back to the point where I think this team can compete for a conference title with Gonzaga and win some games in the NCAA tournament. That's a long way for me to go to get there, but I just love what I've seen. And even though you lose some great players, I just like the direction of this program, the excitement, and just, you know, with that leadership of Coach Pope and some of the players they've got and some of the guys they brought in. I mean, why not have high expectations? I mean, I like having high expectations. I want to believe that they can do something really special, and we'll see what happens. But I certainly feel much more confident going into this season than I did finishing up this past one.
Mark Durant's our guest here on KSL News Radio, and the NCAA, of course, announced that college basketball will start on November 25th. And one of the big questions now, Mark, is that what will BYU do for schedule. Mark Pope put it out there. He wants to play the toughest non-conference schedule he can possibly play if anyone's willing to listen to him. Do you think that there's going to be any way that BYU can piece together some good games that can maybe bolster that tournament resume?
Hey, listen, one of the toughest things I've had to do as a father is tell my 11-year-old daughter that there's no Bahamas in November. I mean, that was a rough conversation. But I guess that could still happen. They're going to play in some kind of multi-team tournament, whether it's the Junkanoo or if they, you know, move that in later, or if it's some other tournament. I mean, I think that's kind of the ideal situation, right, for teams now. And I think the more multi-team tournaments, the better, because you have at least some kind of control. It's almost like a bubble. You bring in the teams and you just kind of play each other. And rather than maybe do a doubleheader, you play a round robin or something. I think that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, it's a big question mark. We already knew earlier that the Pac-12 teams, you had, what, Utah and Arizona State and Oregon, were going to push back. And, you know, maybe with their rethinking football, maybe they'll push it forward again. And those teams might be back on a possibility. Obviously, playing those teams from a Power 5 conference is good for your schedule. Maybe you can, you know, move like a Boise State. You know, they're fairly close. You can move them later. They'll figure it out. But I think the key is with the shortened schedule, and I think Mark Post talked about this before, it's going to be even tougher for a team like BYU to get in the NCAA tournament with that. So you need to make your case in as quickly and in as effectively as you can, and that means playing really good teams. And so I think the staff will be focused on all their efforts on not just playing games against anybody, but really making the games count for postseason type things. And so we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, that's the weird thing. It's everything changes from week to week, and it's kind of frustrating. I think, you know, certainly we all understand, you know, the condition and what's happening in the country, but what I'd like to see a little bit more of, and hopefully what we're seeing the last couple of weeks with football and now with the basketball, is that this is happening. But I'd like to see the powers that be really work to find a way to play rather than work to find ways not to play. And I think we know enough about the situation and the safety guidelines and who is particularly vulnerable and how many fans you can have and wearing masks and all those things. I think when you take that into account, you can play a full schedule and you can be safe about it and have it all happen rather than, well, let's just shut it down because we don't know and it's not safe. And I mean, that if you live that kind of life, then you're not going to leave your house. You know, you got to make some steps forward. And again, I want it to be as safe as possible. But I think you can be safe and play college basketball and do the right things, and that's important. Not for me as a fan, although I like it, and not even for the coaches, although, you know, that's how they make their living. But I tell you what, guys, Mitch and Matt, these players, as a guy who played college basketball, the level of commitment and hours and sacrifice that they put in to get to this spot is mind-boggling. It's almost inconceivable, and how much they want to play. So I think leaders and administrators and NCAA officials and everybody else should be doing everything they can to allow that to happen. And so I hope that's the trend. And we'll get better and better at all this, and we'll have a great season. I look forward to watching these guys play.
Well, if there's any consolation, Mark, tell your daughter that Junkanoo Beach is not nearly as nice as the beaches in Hawaii. So maybe pass that tidbit of information along. Maybe that'll help ease the blow.
Hey, listen, all I know is there's no beach in Laramie. So if you give me a beach, I'll go. Just tell me which beach.
What part of last year's team do you think is something that this coaching staff needs to emphasize and maybe implement into the program for years to come?
Well, college basketball, the nature of it now is shooting the three-point shot. I mean, it's even though they've lengthened the shot a little bit, it's an easy shot. Realistically speaking, the kids nowadays, I watch 11-year-olds at junior jazz unconscious from three. I mean, it's an easy shot, and it's worth 3 points. it's not rocket science. And so if BYU can shoot 40 to 45% like they did last year, be the top of the country, they're going to be in games. It's just such an important shot. And what I liked about Coach Pope is he's very analytical. He's got all the data, and he knows what BYU needs to do to compete. And BYU might not have the most athletic guys, although, I think we joke about that a little bit too much because there's some pretty darn good athletic talent on BYU's team. But what they can do is shoot the ball, and that ought to be the hallmark of every BYU team. And it's one thing to just shoot the three, but to get open looks and to make a high percentage is the real question. And Coach Pope's offense, I thought, was terrific in getting into the paint, breaking down the defense, knowing where the shooters are. And I thought they were just incredibly effective, especially given that it was his first year, as the first introduction for those guys that, like I mentioned, were seniors. It's a new offense. And that was a pretty impressive accomplishment to shoot the ball the way that they did. Now, with guys like Harms and Lowell, I don't know what his condition is right now, and Harward and Gavin Baxter and Colby Lee, you can't just shoot threes when you have that kind of size and talent inside. So maybe a little bit more balance in the paint, but all threats inside, even though you lost Yoli, all that does, if you have threats inside, is make the three-point shots easier. And so I really like that aspect. I came from a Roger Reed era where it was kind of set offense. Let's get the ball into Russ Larson or Gary Trost, and it was really effective. But I don't think teams can compete that way anymore. You need to be able to shoot a high volume of threes and make a good percentage, and BYU was terrific at that last year and will need to continue to be.
You know, Mark, you've seen this program for many years and seen a lot of great players come into the program. And I got to say, this year's roster, though, even though there's so many new faces, 10 new guys, it's a fascinating makeup of players and combination of balance, as you mentioned, with the front court and the back court. I mean, just on paper, with the talent that's on this roster, I mean, how do you think it stacks up compared to some of the teams of the past from what you see from a personnel standpoint?
Well, I mean, it's different because I don't really see a superstar. Like Yoli Childs is a superstar, and they've had kind of that guy, Jimmer, you go down the list. This team doesn't seem to have that standout. Maybe he'll emerge, but the depth is insane. I mean, you bring in Averett with Barcelo on the perimeter, and I think guys that could have a real breakout season are guys like Connor Harding, who I think is a terrific player. Trevin Nell, I think, amazing shooter. You know, Jesse Wade, if he's healthy, you know, what will he do? But then you add some guys that really can help you, like Harms. I mean, when he's in the game, and, you know, people talk about 7'3", 7'4", those kind of guys, and usually they can hardly stand up straight. But this guy's athletic, and when he's in the game, there will be no baskets in the paint. And that changes teams, and you have to shoot the jumpers. And so he's a game-changer, loner. I mean, getting George, Johnson, Erickson. I mean, you got a lot of guys, and the exciting thing for them, because I know coming in as a freshman, Mike Smith had just graduated, I knew that I had a chance, if I played well, to get some time. And maybe that wasn't so much the case last year with all those seniors, but a lot of these young guys, I mean, that's some meat on the bone for you to go and get. If you know, you got to get after it. And so that's exciting. There'll be some good competition there and good athleticism. So like I said, there's not really a superstar, but that could actually benefit this team and really come together as a team to be effective. And with that depth, gives a coach, I mean, if you're a coach, you just got to be, that's your dream, is to, you know, have your second five be able to go in and contribute as much as your first five. That's a pretty good option for Coach Pope, and find the right combination. So we'll see. I mean, it's all talk. You know, yeah. That's what we do. Us guys, we talk. But I feel really good about it. I mean, it's just no reason not to with Coach Pope and that great coaching staff and these young guys. And why not be really good with what I'm seeing?
You can follow him at Durant Mark. We're anxiously awaiting the start of college basketball season. We think the team's going to be awesome, and we're looking forward to hearing you and Greg on the call, and thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to. It seems like it's been a couple years since I've talked basketball or seen basketball. That's just the way this year's gone, but I'm excited to get some normalcy and to watch my Cougars play, so thanks for having me.
Thank you, and hopefully a beach comes your way this year, too. So, all right.
Well, thanks, Mark.
I'm gonna have a talk with Coach Pope, and we'll see if I can make that happen.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. All right, we'll get to a break here. More BYU basketball on the other side. Coach Pope spoke with the media recently. We'll break down what he had to say and preview this upcoming season. Stay with us here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.